and other countries in the Middle East. The story can't be told due to security situations and the need for Muslim converts to be kept somewhat secured. And Brother Jordan, or Brother Reed, rather, would probably be able to speak about that. But eternity is going to reveal the work that Brother and Sister Reed did in Jordan and surrounding countries. Eternity is going to show the number of souls, the victories that were celebrated, the families that were touched, the lives that were changed. Oh my, what a celebration that place is going to be. Praise God. I know we all have our own situations that we're going to celebrate about, but oh my, the missionaries are going to be able to report great things and what God is going to do. Let's stand as we welcome Brother Reed to our pulpit here today. I feel like he's got a word for our church. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Do you need water?
I probably should, yes.
Okay.
Brother Thomas, could you get some water? Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord, everyone. It's so good to be here with you today and to feel the sweet presence of the Lord. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen. We are so thankful for what God is doing in our midst and throughout the world. Amen. As Brother Glover has said, only eternity will tell what the Lord has really done. And I'm so thankful that we can be a part of that. Aren't you? I was amazed at the songs that were chosen to be sung today because I was a little concerned with what I was going to speak about. Amen. But they just confirmed it. Isn't our God great? Praise the Lord. And so I'm so thankful to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. You know, this is not just the body right here. It's a part of the body of Christ. We've got a big world that's full of people baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, living holy lives.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm so thrilled. And I want to thank Pastor for giving me an opportunity to stand behind this pulpit today. He said he felt like I had a word for the church, and I did feel like the Lord gave me something before I came here to give to you. Amen. And by God's help.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you again. I ask you to forgive me for the time that I've masked that I've been among you. Amen. I'm not a bandit. But I have been tasked by some to mask. But praise the Lord. God is good. He's kept us safe, and I thank God for that. Without going into anything more, I'd like for us to just go to the Word of God, because that's what we're here about. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come.
Okay.
Amen. And I want to particularly notice that last phrase, occupy till I come. Pastor, would you pray?
Thank you, Lord God, for your powerful presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great word. Help us to receive it now. Let your anointing be upon your servant. I pray, God, that your touch, your blessing would be upon your people. Use us for your glory. And we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen. You may be seated.
It's up to you.
I'll try it this way.
Okay.
If I have to lean on the pulpit a little bit, amen. I don't do very good standing very long, but maybe that's good because it'll be a short sermon.
Amen.
Amen. You know, this must have seemed a strange command to give to servants. Amen. I've often I used to wonder about the meaning of this commandment, to occupy, as our modern understanding of the word seems to mean filling a place. You know, a placeholder. Amen. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of Christians do. They just become placeholders. They've got their own spot in the church, their own pew they sit in, and they occupy it. Amen. But in, and I'm sure that your pastor, because he is a scholar, I've already learned that about him. I'm sure he has told you the meaning of this word occupy. But in looking at it and looking at the actual meaning, it meant to busy oneself with trade. Amen. And that's brought out in many different translations, but it's really brought out in the Arabic translation. But there's more to it than that, as it meant doing business in a place you're not wanted. Amen. You ever feel that way? Praise the Lord. Essentially, overcoming and taking over the business practices of the land to gain in trade, almost as an occupying force to possess. Praise God. Now, when we try to be true Christians in this world that we live in today, we're going to face many battles. Anybody having a battle right now?
Oh, my.
Oh yeah. Life can be a struggle which can easily exhaust us just trying to stay true to God and to our convictions. We must remember we can't have victories without battles, though. Amen. So to achieve victory, we must find a strategy and weapons which work. And I was a little concerned about this, but when they started talking about the warfare and God's going to do this and God's going to do that and we're in a battle, I thought, okay, God. I did hear from you. Amen. The Apostle John gave us a formula for this victory. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Oh, aren't you thankful for faith that we can have? In the King James, it uses the word overcometh. You know, anytime you see ETH on the end of the word in King James, it means continuing. Amen. We can't just overcome once and then sit back and relax and occupy. Amen. It literally means an ongoing action or continuing to overcome. To do this, we must recognize what we are to overcome.
Right. Okay.
Amen. John admonishes us to overcome the world. Now, this world has been occupied or under the business practices of the evil of Satan. Amen. The Greek for this well-known word for world in this scripture is cosmos. And of course, it means more than just the planet and the stars. Anyone who has studied the universe recognizes the orderly arrangement of the planets and the orbits, their orbits, the sun, the moon, the stars, and how everything seems to work together. And by the way, that just tells me there's a big God up there that's put it all in place. But this word is not speaking of this, but it's speaking of the spiritual cosmos. There's a spiritual world out there that we are entering into, that we're going to have to learn to do trade in. We're going to have to learn to possess it. We're going to have to learn to occupy it. Amen. Paul spoke to the church in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, and he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We're living in a world right now that there's a lot of this going on, and it's not just in a political realm, but it's in a spiritual realm. And so this word cosmos literally means an orderly arrangement, even in the spiritual, because Satan has hijacked much of the spiritual cosmos as well, and has created his own business practices. The spiritual world that we live in, amen, there are, as Brother Billy Cole used to say, There are devils that are assigned to certain areas of the world and certain cities and certain places. And they're running their business the way they want to run it. And we've got to learn to go into that area, amen, and take control and occupy.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Satan is not haphazard in his onslaught against the people of God. He is focused with a battle plan toward our destruction. That's why the Bible says that Satan came to steal and to kill and to destroy. But oh, I thank God that verse doesn't stop there. But he said, but I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. Now, he will do everything in his power to blend us in with his plans and purposes, to the point that he will try to say, well, now, okay, you can be spiritual here, and you can join this, and you can be a part of this. Amen. But we cannot follow the world's arrangements. Satan recognizes that our natural man is the weak link in our walk with God. His goal is to control our flesh and all its appetites, desires, and aspirations. John called it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is why Paul begged the Roman church in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, and that word there, beseech, means I literally beg you. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that word reasonable there just means it makes sense. It makes sense to live for God. Amen. God is concerned that we do not conform ourselves to this world. But he wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Don't think like the world thinks. Amen. Don't blend in with their thinking. We do something that is not good when we blend in with the world's thinking. We play right into the devil's plan. But through our faith, we must endeavor to change the way business is done in the spiritual realm in which we live. Amen. Jesus knew what he was talking to, a people who were under natural occupation by the Romans. They knew what the occupying force was requiring of them and how they were in control and what their business practices were. And they didn't like it. And we don't want to like what Satan is trying to do in our world either. They hated having to do things the way the Romans wanted them to do. Now, Jesus was telling them to be occupiers. Amen. To do business with what he had given them. And they also knew, he also knew how much they hated the occupying force, but he was telling them, occupy until I come. I'm giving you this. I'm giving you what to work with. Now you go out there and use it to change the business practices of this spiritual cosmos that you're living in. Now living in the Middle East, I have encountered the antipathy which comes with occupation and what it does to the psyche of an entire nation, even a race of people. Amen. Our fleshly reaction would be to create an intifada. And throw stones at soldiers who have machine guns, as we don't have the same resources. Amen. That's what the Palestinians did, but it only exacerbates the problem. Amen. And that's why Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, for though we walk in the flesh, everybody pinch yourself. Are you flesh? You're walking in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, amen, and bringing and that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's doing God's business. Amen. Yes, you see, this was not the first time that God had told people to occupy a land. Amen. He told the ancient people to go in, take the land of promise, to destroy the wickedness and degradations along with the perpetrators who had polluted the land. Now, what was beautiful about this is God said, I will drive them out before you. It wasn't until a few years ago that I was reading and I saw that God said, I'm going to send the bees and the hornets before you to drive them out of the land. He said, I've got things that you don't even know about that I'm going to use to drive them out before you. But you've got to be willing to go in and possess that land. Okay. Amen. And so he said, the battle's not yours. It's mine. Amen. For you see, that land was occupied by another force or business practice, if you please, the kingdom of evil. Now, we're either going to live under the occupation of evil or of glory. Amen. That is what God intended for the land of promise. But God's people got lazy and complacent and decided to just inhabit the land. And they begin to incorporate the customs and religious practices of the inhabitants of the land. They started using those business practices and those cultures in their methods rather than to obey God and purge the land of its wickedness. And so God has continually sent judges and prophets and kings and rulers to shake them up and bring them back to what he wanted them to be, to bring them back to his purposes. But they would hear for a while. And then they would lapse back into the customs of the land that they were supposed to be occupying. And so eventually God took away their place and sent them into captivity as they forgot him and their ways. Amen. You know, so often we get in a good service, and everything is just great, and we're going to go out and we're going to change the world. And then we go home and we go, I don't feel real good. I think I'll just rest today. And we just kind of lapse back into the world that we were in. I find an interesting story of Jesus when he went into the Decapolis, or the 10 cities of northern Gilead, which was a part of the promised land. But this land was occupied territory. It was supposed to have been part of the land given to Manasseh. But there was not a Jewish practicing person living in the whole area that we know of. These people were raising pigs and had one inhabitant that was so occupied that he met Jesus at the border. This was the business practice of the enemy. This man with an evil spirit appears like a guard, a sentry, a demonic junkyard dog strategically placed to stop Jesus from entering this area. In fact, the Greek word where it says he came to meet him is often used as a military term to describe a person who goes out on a battlefield to meet an opponent for battle. But this opponent immediately recognized someone stronger than him and the authority of Jesus, and he fell down and worshipped him and implored him not to torment him. Amen. Now, that was not the man speaking. That was the demon speaking. Right. Have you often wondered how many demons he had? The Bible said he had legion. Well, you know, a Roman legion was 6,000. That's a lot of devils to have in you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And they ask him, don't bother us, please. We know you're going to send us out, but let us at least go into the pigs. They needed a host. The devil needs a host. Right. Amen. Yes. Or they would have to leave the territory. Of course, that failed. as the pigs immediately ran down into the sea and drowned. I've stood up in Umm Qais and looked down on that hill, and it's very steep. It goes down to the Sea of Galilee, and I can just imagine a herd of 2,000 pigs running down that. Boy, by the time they got to the bottom, they'd be tumbling and squealing, and I'm sure those devils were going, "Oh no, what have we done?" And so when the man asked to go with Jesus, he was told to stay and share with his friends and neighbors what great things the Lord had done for him.
Right.
And his great compassion. This is God's business.
Praise God. Praise
now the people actually came and said, "Please, please, Jesus, leave us.
Depart.
Amen." But this man essentially became the seed of a new occupying force. As he went back in the area and began to bring the grace and knowledge of God's ways and business practices to them. He did not limit himself to just his friends and neighbors, but the Bible says he began to publish it in all of the Decapolis, the things that Jesus had done. And he affected the people, for it says, all men did marvel. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us to come to the place where in doing your business practices, in trading with what you've given us, that men begin to look at us and say, "Wow."
Right. Amen.
Instead of looking at us and say, "Oh, those Christians." Amen. Now, this parable that we've read to you from this morning about the certain nobleman, which came from our text, was precipitated by Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. Jesus had seen the desire in the heart of Zacchaeus, or as it should be pronounced, Zacchaeus. But, you know, we call him Zacchaeus in English, so that's what I'll use. He immediately reached out and touched Zacchaeus' life and saw the change begin to manifest as Zacchaeus pledged to make all of his past right to the point of excess. Hallelujah. When God changes you, it makes a difference. And you start doing things you never thought you would do. But the people got angry. They said, "Why is he going in and eating with this publican, this sinner? He's going to the house of a sinner. The world's not going to be happy when you come in and disrupt their business practices. They're not going to be happy when you come in and disrupt what they've got going on." But Jesus reiterated the purpose of the kingdom of God. It is to seek and to save those which are lost. That is God's business. Amen. And so as they mulled over the thoughts of the kingdom of God, Jesus used this opportunity to teach them the parable of the certain nobleman. We know that he went into a far country to receive a kingdom for himself and entrusted 10 of his servants to care for it until he returned. And he gave to each of them 1 pound or 1 coin to use in running his kingdom until he returned, with the instruction, "Occupy till I come." Now these servants, just 10 of them, are there in the midst of a people who don't want him to be their king, who don't want his servants to do anything, and he's saying, "I want you to go in there and change the way things are happening. I want you to take what I give you and start using it and trading it and gaining from it." Amen. We're not alone in this battle though. I want you to know that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation?" What's he talking about? He's talking about the angels of God.
Right.
Now, I was telling somebody the other day, you know, the Bible says that a third of the angels fell when Satan was kicked out of heaven. You know what? That means there's 2 angels for every devil.
Okay.
They're outnumbered already. But they're trying to use us to get back at God. I remember a time when I was supposed to go to Bethlehem during one of the intifadas. And I asked the church to pray for me as I was going into an area that was under a military lockdown. And so At the end of the service, one of our lady ministers came to me and she said, "I hope you won't think I'm crazy, Brother Reed, but while you were preaching, and believe me, I've never seen an angel. But she said, while you were preaching, there was a huge angel, about 9 foot tall, that was standing beside you the whole time while you were preaching. And he told me to tell you that when you go to Bethlehem tomorrow, he's going with you." I knew she was a very spiritual woman of prayer and one that wasn't crazy. And even though, although I myself have never seen an angel, believe me, as I was driving over there that next day, I'm looking at that seat beside me and wondering, "Are you there? Are you there?" Amen. I couldn't take my Jordanian car at that time into Israel, so I rented a car to take to Bethlehem. And when I got to the checkpoint where the soldiers were checking and stopping vehicles, I just casually drove on through and no one said or did anything. I got to the hotel, which was owned by the family of one of our pastors there, one of our preachers, and they exclaimed, "How did you get here? We're under curfew. No one can come in or out." I just drove in. I just casually chalked it up to the fact that I had rented a car with Israeli plates on it, and they saw those yellow plates and thought, "Don't have to worry about him." But about a half hour later, our preacher's mother-in-law fell and broke her hip, and an ambulance came and took her to an Israeli hospital. And our preacher, who is Palestinian, said, "I wish I could go and be with her at the hospital." I said, "Well, come on, get in the car with me. I'll take you." He said, "Oh, that won't work." He said, "I'm a Palestinian there. They will not allow me to leave under the lockdown." I finally convinced him to let me try. I got him to the hospital, drove by the checkpoint, got him to the hospital, and he said, "You know, I really wish my wife was here. She had been at her home." And I said, "Well, I'll go back and get her." So I drove back in, went down to her home, picked up his wife, came back out and took her to the hospital. And by that time, I hadn't had any incidents, and I'm thinking, "Oh, wow, these Israeli plates really work." So I headed back to the hotel, and God has ways of letting you know He is the one in control. Okay. As I came back to the checkpoint, a soldier started waving his hands and telling me to stop. And when I rolled down my window, he said, "Where do you think you're going?" I said, "I'm just going to my hotel." And he said, "No, you're not." I said, "Well, I've been going out in and out all morning." He said, "No, you haven't. Bethlehem is on lockdown." And I sat there in that car and argued with that soldier for almost 20 minutes. And finally he said, "All right, you get in that hotel and you stay there and don't you come out again until this curfew is finished." Amen. The battle or business is not yours, but the Lord's. And He's got angels that will help you do it if you will let Him do that. Praise the Lord. So when the king returned, one of his servants had actually gained 10 pounds. And another had gained 5 pounds. I've got it on silent, but it's still not doing that. Praise God. Forgive me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this man, one of them, had been afraid. And he had taken his talent or his pound and wrapped it up in a napkin because he was afraid of the ruler, and presented it proudly to the ruler because he had not lost it. But the ruler told him, "Your own words condemn you." Amen. I looked at this and I thought, wow, he didn't lose it. He still had it. He gave it back. But if we do nothing to further the goals, purposes, and profit of the kingdom of God, then we are just placeholders in His kingdom. He wants, at the very least, he said, usury on what he had given us. And I thought, what? Now, I know about the Jewish people and the laws. They're not supposed to charge usury to Jews.
Yeah.
But they can to Gentiles. And you know what God was saying? When I give it to my children, those others that are there are just like the Gentiles, and you need to at least get usury from them. Amen. He wants some kind of profit out of the kingdom of this world from his servants. Our king has placed us in a world cosmos that does not love him, but will persecute his servants. But he told us to occupy until he comes. We've got to get busy and do the Lord's work, the Lord's business, the Lord's trade. Hallelujah. Get busy doing the king's business that he has sent us to occupy. The world system has been in business too long. It's time to take over the business and bring it into the spiritual cosmos. Now, it is not an easy task to tear down one system and install and build up another. This world has operated too long in sin and degradation, but it is time for us to take possession of this world and its citizenry and institute the system of righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
This is doing the business of the king. The beauty of this is that he has equipped us all with the means to do business for him until he comes. Now, we're not going to accomplish it overnight. And this world may not even acknowledge that we have done so. Now, I'm not talking about getting into politics. That's the world system. But we've got to take those talents that God has given us and use those talents. That's what is important. We've got to get busy doing the business of the kingdom of God. And what is that business? And what constitutes profit in his business? What are the goals that we are striving for? Amen. First of all, we need to realize that we are his ambassadors.
Okay.
What is an ambassador? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Okay.
Amen. The church is a community where we don't evaluate people after the flesh. Paul says we did that at one time, but no more. Old things are gone. Behold, all things are become new. And so God settled the relationship between us and him. We were once his enemies, but now we are his friends. He gives us the privilege of making other friends also. How did he do this? Through forgiveness.
Okay.
How do we do this? In the same way. The church is a forgiving institution. We are ambassadors standing in Christ's stead. That brings great privilege and great responsibility. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank sent from one sovereign state to another as its resident representative. Ambassadors speak and act for their home country. Ambassadors enjoy diplomatic immunity. And the embassy that they work in is an island of sovereignty and is considered to stand on the soil of its own homeland. Amen. You know, if someone wants asylum in Jordan, they try to get into the American embassy. And once they're inside the embassy, they consider they're on U.S. soil. Amen. And so we are to spread the knowledge, values, and glory of the kingdom of God. Now, the currency of the kingdom is the precious blood of Christ, the most valuable thing in heaven and earth. And the profit of the kingdom of God is souls. Amen. The projected goal of the kingdom is for the glory of the Lord to fill all the earth. He said it is not his will that any should perish, but that all would come unto repentance. We have his precious promise that he is coming again, so we must be about our Father's business until he comes. We are not just placeholders in the kingdom of God. He expects us to work with what we have been given. I've met so many people who had a little church and they said, well, we're just occupying until he comes, you know. The concept of us four and no more.
Yeah.
Amen. We cannot just hide and endure until he returns and offer it back to him. He wants profit.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. He did not just call you and give you your soul to be saved, but to bring glory into his kingdom and to bring souls to him as profit for his kingdom.
Amen.
At the very least, he wants some of the values we have to rub off on those that are around us. So that he has something to show for placing us where we are. What effect are you having on your world? What effect are you having on the spiritual cosmos that you've been placed in?
Yeah.
Amen. Will you have souls to bring to him when he comes? Will you at least have had an effect on those around you? Amen.
Oh God.
I'll never forget one time I was visiting a man in the hospital there in Jordan. He was a Muslim man, but he'd become a very close friend of mine. And I went to visit him, and he had four of his friends there that were visiting him. And so I just visited with him a little while and just, left. And later on, he said, after you left, those men said, who was that? He said, just my friend. They said, well, we just felt a peace while he was there.
Wow.
Church, we need to let that spirit of God that is within us affect those that are around us. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you look at the modern church, you see the church as busy as a whole. But are they accomplishing what God has given them? Is the church occupying, or is it just sitting on the laurels of what God has blessed them with and just inhabiting, waiting for the Lord to return? That's not what he called us to do. That's not what will hasten his return. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about the end times, and this war means this, and that war means that, and this means this, and this means that. But the truth is, the Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. That is the focus of God on the end time, not the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all this. He's focused on us getting his business practices into this evil spiritual cosmos that we live in and bringing back the kingdom of God by winning souls to him.
All right.
Amen. You see, Jesus said to the church in the book of Revelation, so then because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Amen. Now, he was talking to the church of Laodicea. I've been to Laodicea. And there's a hot springs there that flows out and goes down to another city. And you can drink the water when it's hot. But when it gets lukewarm, it will literally make you throw up. And that's what Jesus was saying there. Because you're neither hot nor cold, God's going to throw us up. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are living in the last days, church. None of us knows when he will return. We're the ones called to such a time as this. Step out and take your God-given place in his kingdom. Don't be afraid. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He wants us to accomplish certain things while we're here on the earth. But he also is 100% behind us, supporting us all the way. We're not just to inhabit the land, but to actually occupy it and influence society and culture as we become in contact with the citizens of this world and change the way this world does business in the kingdom. Our commission is not to bring truth to the world, but to disciple nations, teaching them to do all things he has commanded. What are we doing to further his kingdom? Amen. Now, he's given each to one of us at least one talent. It may be the gift of gab. I know some people that way. Some people are just able to talk to anyone. Amen. Use your gift. Amen. It may be prayer or intercession. It may be business sense. It may be the ability to pray with people in the altar. It may be just modeling the attributes and attitudes and characteristics of the kingdom without even being aware that we're doing so. It may be a musical talent. It may be teaching a Bible study. Don't just hold on to your talent until he comes. Put it out there and gain at least interest on what he has given you. We're to occupy to change this world's business practices, to drive out the tendencies of this cosmos and inhabit it with the spiritual world until he comes. We are in the world, but we are not of the world.
That's right.
Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to prepare ourselves, church. We've got a world that is lost, and we've got to get out there and get busy trading, amen, with what God has given us to be able to change this world that we're living in. Praise God. Let the world become an embassy. Your world. Let your world become an embassy for others to desire to immigrate to. Bring them into the spiritual cosmos of the kingdom of God. He has given you your soul. How many will you have to offer him when he returns? Amen. As Brother Pastor Glover has said, only eternity will tell what each one of us has done. Amen. Amen. And I want to be able to stand before him with joy and not with grief. I want to be able to know, God, I have reached out with what you have given me, and I have changed the world that you've placed me in, and I've changed the way that they look at you. And when you come, I want to be able to give to you all that you have given to me, plus what I've been able to trade and build and bring up from the talents that you've given me. God bless you.
Amen. I'll get your cane for you, bro. You're welcome to sit. Take a seat up here if you'd like. Let's stand together. That's a challenge. A challenge to the church. Something that, of course, we think about, we consider, we determine how that can be applied to our lives. But the most important thing is to act on it. Amen. Become part of the book of Acts. Act on what you've heard. Act on what you've received. Amen. And do the work of God. You know, a couple of things, Brother Reed, occurred to me that the short command, occupy till I come. I've always focused on the occupy. And for some reason I noticed today, till I come. That's what we're looking for.
Right.
Amen. But to appear in his presence empty-handed, or that talent buried and dug back up again quickly. And, here, Lord, I've got it for you. I don't want to be empty-handed before the Lord. And thank God we can give of our time, give of our talents, give of our treasure, but souls is what he's looking for. Souls. And that's what he came for, to seek and to save the lost. And we identify with the work of God in that same focus, that same desire. Oh God, let me be a soul winner. Oh God, help me to be a fisher of men. Oh God, let my talent not just be buried, but let it produce, let it bring results, let it show forth the increase of your kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. And we're asking the Lord to use us. Can we come and pray today? I think it's important that we ask the Lord to help us to apply what we've heard today.